I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Tuesday, September 10th. Quincy City Councilors passed a resolution last night calling on the state to amend its decades-old right to shelter law amid the migrant housing crisis. Council President Ian Kane introduced the resolution 2 weeks after nearly 50 homeless migrants, including children, began sleeping outside the Wollaston T station. The resolution asks that state legislators and Governor Healey limit state-supported emergency shelter to individuals and families who've been residents of Massachusetts for at least 6 months and are United States citizens or lawful permanent residents. As the state became overwhelmed by a historic influx of migrants, Governor Healey put restrictions on the number of migrant families granted emergency shelter and just how long they could stay in that house. Some migrants slept at Logan Airport. Others tucked their kids to bed on blankets outside T-stops. In Quincy, the state opened a migrant welcome center and temporary shelter at Eastern Nazarene College. But Kane says Quincy's feeling the financial toll of assisting its large number of migrants. The resolution passed on a vote of 6-3, with councilors Richard Ash, William Harris, and Nina Liang voting against the measure. Quincy City Council last night did not vote on a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The measure was put forward by Council President Ian Kane and Ward 2 Councilor Richard Ash, but the councilor said they put the measure on the agenda at the request of some of their constituents, but that they did not support it personally. Other councilors also said they did believe the issue did not belong before the Quincy City Council. Over 100 people gathered outside Quincy City Hall last night to protest the recent salary increases approved for the mayor and city councilors. Members of the newly formed citizens group, A Just Quincy, argue that the raises are too high and were done without proper public input. The protesters are calling on the city council to repeal the raises and conduct a more thorough salary study. The raises are set to take effect on January 1st. Ward 6 Councilor William Harris says he will not accept the pay hike. MBTA General Manager Phil Eng says the transit agency is on track to eliminate slow zones by the end of the year. Implementing slow zones has been a temporary fix to more long-term issues, Eng said. That includes lines that need maintenance or corrective repairs. As part of the track improvement program, the T has scheduled shutdowns all year on the green, orange, red, and blue lines. Right now, there is red line suspension between JFK, UMass, and Braintree through September 29th. T is working to remove slow zones and improve infrastructure in an effort to run trains at full speed, reducing commute times and increasing train frequency. In addition to eliminating slow zones, Eng said other top priorities causing weekend diversions have been fixing signals and implementing track work. Going into 2025, Eng says the T is focused on sharing a vision with the public, where we see the T going longer term by laying out a roadmap for the future. Yesterday marked the 70th anniversary of the opening of Fontbonne Academy, an all-girls Catholic preparatory school in Milton. To commemorate the landmark event, school officials hosted a heartfelt time capsule ceremony celebrating the school's rich history. The time capsule featured a year in review picked by grades 7 through 12 students, including a Celtics championship banner, a copy of the Milton Times and Boston Globe, a list of social justice projects from the class of 2024, even a few Taylor Swift bracelets. Students also shared messages of their hopes and dreams for the future at Fontbonne Academy, which will be revealed in the year 2094. The head of school, Mara Spignesi, said the time capsule symbolizes their ongoing journey and the values they hold dear. Yesterday's event also brought together current students and distinguished alumni. State Treasurer Deb Goldberg fired Cannabis Control Commission Chairman Shannon O'Brien yesterday, a removal that seems likely to kick the year-long drama back into the courts. In a statement, Goldberg said she decided to fire O'Brien after carefully considering more than 20 hours of meetings held earlier this year, as well as various documents, case law, and policies. Goldberg says she fired O'Brien because she committed gross misconduct and demonstrated she's unable to discharge the powers and duties of a cannabis control commissioner. Goldberg plans to name a new acting person for the commission soon. After appointing her to the top job in 2022, Goldberg suspended O'Brien, a former state treasurer, and the Democratic Party's 2002 nominee for governor last September. Goldberg's statement did not provide specific examples of O'Brien's alleged misconduct or inability to discharge her duties. Her office declined to provide a copy of any letter or notice outlining the rationale for the firing. Treasurer had previously given two justifications for O'Brien's suspension and possible firing, that the chairwoman's alleged to have made racially insensitive remarks and that she mistreated the former executive director, Sean Collins, a former Goldberg deputy. O'Brien denied the allegations against her and in the fall sued Goldberg. A man was hospitalized yesterday after being stuck in a muddy marsh for what he says was about 2 days. Happened on Sagamore Beach. A neighbor who lives in a cul-de-sac that's surrounded by a salty marsh and thick brush heard moaning and pleas for help coming from behind her home. She called 911. Rescuers found a man stuck in the mud about 12 feet behind the property. He told them he'd been there for about 2 days. Video shows the man being loaded onto a stretcher and into an ambulance. He told first responders his feet hurt but didn't give an immediate explanation about how he ended up in the fairly remote area. A neighbor who watched the rescue was puzzled by how the man got trapped in the mud. The man was transported to a nearby hospital for evaluation. Police in several Massachusetts communities are warning about a threatening scam where some victims have lost thousands of dollars. Investigators say in this scam, crooks send people an email with a picture of their house, address, phone number, and a threatening message demanding money. The scammers claimed to have compromising videos and pictures they got remotely. Then they demand the pay of up to $2,000 through a cryptocurrency QR code, or they'd send the so-called videos to all their contacts. So far, police say the scam complaints have been coming from Needham, Foxborough, Marion, Sandwich, and Sharon. Police and veteran cybersecurity experts say the scammers are likely overseas, using information that's already out there, so it's smart to stay on top of your privacy settings. Experts say you can report the scam and others to the FBI at the Internet Crime Center. A check of business news. Stocks bounced back yesterday. The Dow was up 484. The NASDAQ rose 193, and the S&P added 62. Stocks were mixed in Asia. The dollar was lower. The euro was flat. Oil at $68 a barrel. Sports. Red Sox come roaring back and beat the Orioles 12-3 at Fenway last night. The series continues tonight at 7:10. Forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny and a high of 77 degrees. Tonight, clear, a low of 54. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 79. On Thursday, mostly sunny and a high of 83. Friday, partly sunny and high of 87. Out on the water, waves about a foot. Northwest wind 5 to 10 knots, becomes northeast later today. High tide 4:59 p.m. Sunrise at 6:19, sets at 7:01. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Tuesday, September 10th.